While Constitutional Amendment W included multiple interrelated provisions and was rejected by voters, Amendment Z established limitations to future proposed amendments. Voters approved of that measure, which states that a proposed amendment may embrace only one subject, and it requires proposed amendments to be presented and voted on separately. It's a significant change to the ballot question process. State Representative Mark Mickelson supported Amendment Z. He also supported initiated Measure 25, which intended to increase the state tobacco tax in order to lower tech school tuition. Initiated Measure 25 was defeated. Representative Mark Mickelson joins us now. Thank you for coming back to the studio here in Sioux Falls.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
So wins and losses, last night, and kind of interesting to see how voters picked exactly what they wanted and made very specific decisions. What do you take away from the results of last night?
I think the initiative process in South Dakota is alive and well. Yeah, I do. I think people... We had fewer measures on the ballot, and I think people had a pretty good idea of what they were voting on. Obviously, I'm disappointed that we weren't able to advance the cause of our technical schools. We had some unforeseen difficulties with the Republican Party, frankly. That's an issue that you usually win 60-40. The tobacco companies come in, spend a bunch of money. That makes it harder. But the trade schools are so popular. And fortunately, Governor-elect Noem kind of heard our message, I think, and said, listen, we are the third highest tuition in the country. Other states fund technical schools with property taxes. That's probably not an acceptable way for us to solve the problem that we have. The voters rejected a tobacco tax. And I think she has some ideas about how to go about addressing the problem. I don't know if it will be internet sales tax or taking some money from somewhere else out of state government. But I think some of the industry folks I work with are pretty hopeful that we at least raised awareness of the issue. And then back to Z, and then there was an interrelated one, 24, that I was the sponsor of.
So this is it. Measure 24.
24, yeah. was initiated. Z came through the legislature. It's a constitutional amendment. And South Dakotans, for most of their history, have not had the ability to initiate a constitutional amendment. We could initiate laws. That came about in the late 1980s under Homer Harding as the Senate Majority Leader. And Montana, we looked around when we had some difficulties with Marcy's Law, and it was a multi-part measure, and it had some unintended, unforeseen consequences that, frankly, both sides were able to come together and say we wanted to fix. And if you remember, we did do that in the primary ballot this spring. But Montana had what was Amendment Z's language, single subject. If you can separate, if it's got more than one idea in it and you can separate them, you have to. Mm-hmm. And that way, if people want to bring initiated constitutional amendments forward in the future, bring them one at a time. And that way, people have a really good idea what they're voting on.
And talk a little bit about 24 and just where that money comes from.
Well, I think everyone agrees the initiative process is for South Dakota citizens and that no one wants to be a playground for these out-of-state groups. You know, whether they be a payday lending outfit or a liberal political advocacy group or a conservative political advocacy group, if they don't have kids that go to school here, they're not here paying taxes, they don't have a vested interest in the future of South Dakota, you know, they have a right to have their voice heard, but not on initiated measures because most states don't have the initiated measure process. And so it's unique to a place like South Dakota, a populist place that was really, we put this initiative process in place because we were concerned about the influence out-of-state money would have on our elected officials, and we wanted to have the ability to circumvent them. And so we're very pleased with Z. It will effectively preempt the next version of W. You know, W was a multi-part, multi-idea, 3,200-word constitutional amendment. And so, I can't imagine the Bill of Rights has 3,200 words in it. You know what I mean? And so those aren't the kinds of measures that belong in our Constitution. You know, it's longer than the Bill of Rights.
How now that 24 is passed, which is intended to keep some of the money out of that process, how would that have affected 25 or not? Make the connection.
You know, it's. I've had a lot of people tell me the convenience stores, the people that sell the cigarettes, the retailers in South Dakota should have been funding that campaign, and they didn't. You know, it was the manufacturers from out of state. Personally, I don't like it. They were fighting me on something I believed in, but they do have the right to invest in that because it affects their business. And so 24 wouldn't preempt them as long as they've been filed to do business in this state for 4 years. It would prevent the next version of Represent Us that pops up out of nowhere and says, basically, they effectively kind of look at a map and said, should it be Idaho or North Dakota or, you know, what's the media like? What's the political environment? How many signatures do we have to get? Let's try this idea here. And that's what we're trying to get at. You know, people that have a vested interest in South Dakota, demonstrable vested interest in South Dakota, 24 wouldn't hinder that.
For the tech school funding, is that a legislative solution next? You mentioned Governor-elect Kristi Noem. Yeah. Is that something that comes from her office?
It'll have to come from the executive branch. You know, I mean, in my opinion, just having served for 6 years, we were trying to get them $20 million. That would buy our tuition down from $250 a credit hour to $150 a credit hour. That's what North Dakota charges. But it's still more than Nebraska, still more than Montana, still more than Wyoming, but less than Minnesota and less than Iowa. And so it gets us in the game. And I think the legislature would have a very difficult time coalescing around technical schools as their priority when they've got the K-12 systems, the Board of Regents, the Medicaid providers, all thinking that they need more too. And that's why we took it on because, listen, let's face it, everyone that lives on state government, none of them think they have enough. And I think taxpayers get that, and so they're always skeptical. Well, my opinion, the technical institutes have never had an advocacy group, and so they've kind of been treated a little bit like a redheaded stepchild. And that's why we took them on, and they fit our state. We're a blue-collar state. We got a lot of kids coming out of there making really good money as electricians and welders and tradesmen and healthcare technicians and those kinds of jobs, and that's what we need. And there isn't... And that's why, you know, Aberdeen, Watertown, Huron, Mitchell, Yankton, Sioux Falls, Chambers and Development Corporations endorsed it. And that's why the Associated General Contractors endorsed it, okay? We got a workforce issue, you know? And we got a lot of people out there saying, people don't pay enough wages in South Dakota. Well, guys, go get a skill. You know, go get a different skill that pays different. The whole reason we got into this issue is I was chairing the Sioux Falls Development Foundation. We had a large manufacturer looking to come to Sioux Falls, ultimately led to the purchase of the land that's now Foundation Park. They wanted to hire 600 people, pay them $20 an hour, raise the wage base in this community. We went up to Southeast Tech, said, can we train these people? And they looked at us and said, we've cut every we had six manufacturing classes, we cut them all. We couldn't afford to offer them. And so when I say most states fund technical schools with a property tax, that's why we have a funding issue in South Dakota with our technical schools. We try to address it by having overly high tuition, but ultimately, you know, a kid says they can go to Nebraska for less than half the price. You know, we're not going to be able to grow our workforce if we stay in that situation.
In our remaining minute or so, any thoughts on state Senate, state legislative races? You're watching those pretty closely. How do you think some of them turned out?
Well, I had a couple friends lose, unfortunately, in Sioux Falls. But by and large, you know, Billy Sutton ran really strong in Sioux Falls for governor, and he had some coattails there. Senate majority leaders won close or is in a potential recount. And a couple districts that are usually very safe Republican, House seats went Democrat. And so, but that's why we have elections. It's why it's a great country. I mean, you don't have to be happy with all the results, but people got to vote. And we had great turnout yesterday, you know, 62-63% statewide in a non-presidential year. That's a good sign.
Yeah. Representative Mark Nicholson, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you.